Weber.
I'm rolling.
Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1258, March 4th, 2024. 61 degrees on this day in 1983 and in the year 2000. And it was 22 below on this day in 1873. And after the music, I have a note about ice outs.
Hail the flashlight, King.
Hail you!
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and the keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
There's been a fair number of May ice outs over the years. I doubt that we'll have any this year. And I would think the record is sure to be broken. The earliest ice out that I've been able to report from material provided by the Fresh Water Society is the earliest ice out has always been March 11, 1878 on Minnetonka. March 11, 1878. Last night I got a report. No follow-up today, but I got a report that White Bear, two-thirds of the western side of the lake, was ice-free on March 3rd. I don't know if the remaining ice cover on the third of the lake survived the winds we had yesterday or not, but ice outs are going to be probably coming in soon. I had one here.
They are boating on Lake Minnetonka already.
That I did not know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Chris Eggert tweeted yesterday.
Wow.
Was the report on White Bear Lake from the same gentleman who asked you to come over and look at the village?
No, it was the other brother.
Okay, got it.
What is this now?
The battle.
This guy, Marshall, wants me to note that Lake LaBelle has ice out. I'm only going to read this for one reason. Joe, I wanted to let you know that Lake LaBelle in Pickwick had the ice go out on Feb 29. It took a while for the shady part to melt. The lake is formed by a dam in the creek. He wrote creek.
Okay.
Put in place to provide power to the Pickwick Mill via the 20-foot diameter water wheel. Built from 1854 to 1858 using locally quarried limestone, it provided 100 barrels of flour per day for the Union Army during the Civil War. In 1907, a tornado took off the roof and top floor, and the mill shut down operations in 1978. In the 1980s, the local community, including my grandma Opal, banded together to restore the mill and keep it open as a museum. It's really a neat building to tour and often has classic car clubs stop on their drives. Thought I'd let you know, Marshall. I do know of it. I visited on a drive, only it was motorcycles, a motorcycle group, and not cars. So I'm familiar with the Pickwick Mill, southeastern Minnesota.
Okay.
And I can tell you that I'm not familiar with this lake that he's claiming is ice-free, Lake LaBelle. And in any event, do not send me ice outs.
Got it.
I won't.
It's a tradition like no other.
Yes, the White Bear Minnetonka ice outs. If you want to throw me Mille Lacs, that's fine.
Along those lines, I am seeing a couple of ice outs on some potholes around the area. The backwater is out. Horseshoe Dam is out. Anders Pond is out.
I do have the sense winds from the Sierras.
Rice Pond is out. The Beaver Dam Pond is out.
Suchi Boy, just southeast of Winona.
I know where it is.
Oh, I thought you there. Said you were. Oh, I'm sorry.
I've been there. I think Joel Bryan engineered that trip. I have the sense winds, because I love them so, from the Tahoe-Truckee area of California, where right now they're being inundated with snow. And, of course, we're told that this is an example of our bringing havoc to our mother, the earth. In 1883, major storm periods in January 1880 stacked 16 feet of snow on Donner Pass. I'll cut to the chase. In the list of the top five snowiest winters for the Truckee Tahoe region, and this is from the Sierra Sun newspaper, in December of 1894, the weather went gangbusters as relentless Pacific storm systems piled snow on the higher terrain. By the first day of winter, Truckee residents already shoveled 80 inches of snow, and the snowpack exceeded 10 feet in the Norden train station near Donner Pass. Okay. We all know why Donner Pass is famous. On Donner Pass, nearly 22 feet of snow fell in January of 1880. 22 feet. With a total moisture content of 25.8 inches of water, making it the second consecutive month with nearly three times normal precipitation. The months of December 1894 and January 1895 dumped more than 50 inches of precipitation, meaning Donner Summit was blasted with nearly a whole winter's worth of snow and rain in 8 weeks.
Wow.
And it goes on. We learn about 1950 and 51. I won't continue. You know the drill. What we're experiencing in the Sierras has all been experienced before. And will be again. 1938. At the end of January 1938, a barrage of cold storms blasted the high country with 12 feet of snow in less than a week. From then on, storms hit hard and fast, beginning a siege of extreme weather that lasted for 21 consecutive days. Tahoe City residents had 17 feet of new snow in 16 days. There were no mail deliveries to Tahoe City for more than a week. No fresh food for twice that long. And so all you have to do is, you know, look it up yourself. It's there. The history is important to understand for those insisting on telling us that this is all new. It's not all new. And it's been rather common out that way. I've been there. Been there.
You've been there. You've seen it?
You get the sign up the high. You know, you fly into Sacramento, and then you start just going like this. Up, till you finally reach a point where it says, chains necessary from this point on. Ooh. Not in the summer, but in the winter, you'd stop there. You have to put on chains. And there's cutouts for you to pull in and put on the chains. But back in the day, I suppose that the horses had to stop there and the sleighs. And
I've been there from Reno.
Yeah.
We took a day trip up there one day.
Yes, you in the back.
You know, some of the images and videos you're seeing surface from there, it's hard to put blame on a lot of people, but everyone knew this was coming, correct?
Sure, it happens all the time in that part of the world.
So when you see all these semis, weren't they told by whoever was sending them that way? You might want to have a heads up.
Tell their dispatchers that.
Yeah, what, Kenny? That's
dispatch. These guys are corporate drivers.
And I just want to note that I've got my shaming letter from XL Energy. I brought it with me.
I just got mine this week.
It's for the month of December. Mm-hmm. The month of December, our
mail
house,
a little slow at your house?
That's when they come, I guess. Oh. I got it last week. Oh. I don't care when it came, Chris. Yeah. It's the damn report for December.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And in December, we were home. Nothing changed. And in fact, in December, you would think maybe more electricity use, Christmas lights and the whole deal,
yeah.
You know.
Light them up.
Sure. And I got a great, it's the first time ever in my life. My electricity use was 397 kilowatts. I was as great as efficient nearby homes. Oh, and similar nearby homes were twice that, twice what I would do.
You got one of these?
Yes. And my natural gas use was called fair.
Huh.
I used 232 therms.
Okay.
That was less than similar nearby homes.
See? You're telling everybody.
Do you celebrate said achievement?
Well, my point is, this is BS. They make this up. There's no rhyme or reason for this.
And you'll be, go ahead.
Should they be comparing you to the Johnsons down the street?
Well, that's what they do. They try to shame you.
That's personal information.
Well, now, have you surveyed the neighborhood, walked around with a clipboard and a calculator and a couple of number two pencils and canvassed the neighbors?
No.
No.
I haven't.
All right.
But, then, but so this is the first
your
time.
Data is incomplete, though.
Well, this is XL's data, not mine.
Uh-huh.
This is the first time since I received a shaming letter that I passed.
Okay, if you say so.
It says fair and great. Your electricity use was great. Wouldn't that mean, don't they want to use a different word than great? I didn't have great electricity use. According to you, XL, I had modest electricity use.
Maybe they're just saying this to everybody because basically our energy prices have doubled in 2024.
That's what I was thinking. They're going to use this as an excuse to up your cost.
And get this. Nearby homes are defined as homes within 6 miles. So for 6 miles around,
come on.
I had better electricity use than all the people in the 6 mile area.
Yeah.
6 square miles. What's the total on that?
That's a lot of houses.
That's a lot of miles.
Gee whiz.
Well, you'll be able to compare your March energy shaded letter in June when you get it then.
Let's get right to the statement from the St. Paul, from a shooting in St. Paul, the statement from the Ramsey County Sheriff. Last night, meaning Friday night, March 1st, a suspect shot at least 2 rounds from a rifle at a Ramsey County Sheriff's deputy who was hit by fragments. The officer was taken to the hospital, and thankfully there were no apparent serious injuries. Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association Executive Director Brian Peters said, "We're relieved that the officer wasn't killed. This once again illustrates the severe danger posed to law enforcement in their duties to keep communities safe. The increased violence against law enforcement is at a crisis level, a war on police in Minnesota." And I heard Sheriff Fletcher talking about it. This was over on the east side, Payne Avenue area. And a guy was a feral youth, was leaning out the window of a car and firing at a sheriff's deputy.
Yikes. That's pretty bold.
That's unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Firing at a sheriff's deputy with a military-style weapon.
Yeah, that scares the hell out of me.
One bullet hit the hood of his car and glanced off and didn't hit the deputy. One hit him in his in the part of his vest.
That was shrapnel.
Shrapnel hit him in part of his vest, and he thankfully had the vest on, and he was not injured seriously.
You're saying Euclid. Where's that at, Joe?
That's a street on the east side that probably intersects Payne Avenue.
Euclid.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's let's turn to Minneapolis. Arrests have been made of 9 feral youth in the 2 robbery sprees in Minneapolis. 9 juveniles have been charged in connection with a string of 30 armed robberies across Minneapolis over a 5-day period in early Feb, followed by another rash of robberies in the city last weekend, the weekend of Feb 24 and 25. Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty announced that charging decisions Friday in a video statement explaining how her office handled the cases and helped Minneapolis police in identifying and charging the youth involved. Police referred a dozen juveniles to Mary Moriarty's office for possible charges. Now, let's stop right there. This is right in Mary's wheelhouse. These are the young people that presumably Mary intends to give second chances to or steer them to some sort of rehabilitation program. So she's loath to prosecute these young people. Now, she's claiming she's looking at this for charges.
Yeah.
The word is possible charges. But I think if you read between the lines of her quotes, I think you get an indication of what might happen. For example, she's quoted, this is in Saturday's Star Tribune, "If we are brought cases with proof where youth are committing violent crimes, we will charge them and hold them accountable." Okay, then you have to wonder, well, I wonder what proof she needs.
Right.
Minneapolis police believe the first onslaught of robberies were committed by youth who had stolen a car or cars. The agency referred 5 cases and 4 minors. But Mariarty said none of the youth were charged for the robberies that occurred. Quote, "It's important to understand that simply because a youth may be found in a stolen car does not mean that we can prove that they stole the car."
Oh, my God.
"It also doesn't mean that they were in the car at the time it was used to commit a robbery," she said. So as far as Mary's concerned, if you were picked up and you were in the stolen car, you might have just been picked up after you got off at the barbershop or something.
I didn't know this was stolen.
Whoa. Two supervisors at Moriarty's office pored over 30 police reports to identify patterns. When the next rash of robberies hit the city, Feb 25, police referred 7 cases and prosecutors charged 5. Moriarty said the 7 kids were not involved in any of the previous robbery cases. I don't know how she knows it.
Right.
Knows that. Police Chief O'Hara said in a statement Friday that while it's disappointing when cases referred to prosecutors are not charged, he appreciates the partnership between the county attorney's office and the police investigators. "I continue to be proud of the great police work our officers and investigators do around the clock to address the recent rash of robberies committed by juvenile offenders," O'Hara said. Let me turn here. I think O'Hara is probably saying what he has to say.
Right.
"Investigators continue to work around the clock to identify all of the different juveniles involved in collecting evidence to build cases. I am confident the MPD strategy is working. I'm also confident we will continue to make more arrests and present more cases for charging." And, of course, we're not going to name these because they're juveniles. One of the robbery cases is non-public because the juvenile is under 16. Another case is non-public because it did not result in felony-level offense. That juvenile was over 16, was charged with fleeing on foot. Maybe Mary thought he heard a scary noise and just ran for some reason. A misdemeanor offense under state statute, a delinquency or extended jurisdiction juvenile case is public if the person is at least 16 and the offense is a felony. Okay, so where are we? The police have rounded up 9 of these characters. How many will ultimately get charged, prosecuted, and jailed is not a certain bet at all.
Right.
Not a certain bet at all. So, and she warned the voters, this is her life's view, this is her ideology. She warned the voters of that. They knew what they were getting when they voted for her. Police responded to a carjacking at gunpoint, Feb 9, on East Lake of the Isles Parkway. The victim said she was sitting in the driver's seat of a rental car around 9 p.m. when 3 males approached her. One shattered her window and another pushed a gun against her arm and told her to get out or else he would shoot. They pulled her from the vehicle and fled. Okay, they should be charged. Later that night, police spotted another stolen vehicle that was being trailed by the BMW. That's the first car that was stolen. It was a BMW rental car. Later that night, police spotted another stolen vehicle that was being trailed by the BMW. Officers initiated a pursuit, and the BMW crashed into 2 unoccupied cars.
Of course.
Because, again, these kids don't know how to drive.
Right.
2 males fled through the alley between Irving and Humboldt Avenues. Officers searched the area and found a suspect hiding.
Where was his hiding spot, I wonder?
I don't know. Upon arrest, police recovered a handgun on a 17-year-old from Brooklyn Park. The teenager was charged with felony gun possession, fleeing on foot, and riding in a stolen vehicle. Well, just because he was riding in the stolen vehicle...
Did he know it was
stolen? Do we know that he knew it was stolen?
I don't think
that's
so.
What Mary's asking. Yes.
I hate to be the... I don't know. Pain in your ass here, but what she's saying is what any public defender or defense lawyer would bring up in court and successfully argue. You realize that, right?
Sure.
Okay. I mean, she's just acknowledging what's going to happen in court. Mm-hmm. If it's preventing those kids from having their day in court, then I disagree. I believe they should. You should at least try. But I had to get that off my chest.
Well, I think we need to keep. I hope the Star Tribune stays on this. What we need to know is what will happen here. Will they get prosecuted? Will they go to trial? I'm betting they won't.
I would take that bet. Yeah, so what I'm getting from her is that she's not going to try to prosecute any of these cases due to lack of evidence.
Even though the police are saying, oh, look, we've worked day and night to come up with the evidence.
Yeah.
And it's evidence she might reject.
Yeah.
Maybe all of this makes you want to think, is it time to move?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
where are you going?
Especially if you're a business owner paying too much in taxes. The Tax Foundation has just released its State Business Tax Climate Index, and Minnesota is near the bottom, I'm sorry, with the 45th worst tax climate in the U.S. That's why Sioux Falls is beckoning. They're pointing out that they have the second best tax climate in the nation. So maybe this is the year you're wondering, should I move my business? No matter what size, you can increase profits in Sioux Falls. They've got the proof at SiouxFallsDevelopment.com. That's one word. In Sioux Falls, they got the safe streets, the good schools, short commutes, a vibrant, growing downtown, which we don't have, and pro-business attitude. They're all attractive reasons to make your move, and they've got a motivated workforce. You can escape the high taxes of Minnesota by planning your expansion or relocation to Sioux Falls. And maybe this is the year, 2024. Maybe this is the year you take a long, hard look at it. Check it all out at Sioux Falls Development. That's one word, SiouxFallsDevelopment.com.
Who's doing what?
Mike is doing Zero Risk.
He's nothing without his liners. He's Joe Soucheray. And I'm nothing without Zero Res, I can tell you that right now. Zero Res, it's time for some spring cleaning. Get it done. Get on their docket, their calendar right now. They're taking reservations. I'll give you their phone number. But you know what? I want to tell you that your carpets need to be clean every year. And you can save big in March when you beat the spring cleaning rush with limited time offers from our cleaning heroes at Zero Res. I've used them. They do a fantastic job. When you think about all the dust, dander, and bacteria in that carpet, upholstery, and air ducts, it's nowhere to go. So that's why Zero Res comes in and gets rid of it. Now, there's only one real way to get all that gunk out of your home, and it's the professionals at Zero Res. Don't do your own. Don't rent it. The machines they use are rated, highly rated cleaning system with environmentally friendly water, and they'll extract all that nasty out of your house so your home will smell like it should. Here's the deal. The Zero Res Gotta Love It guarantee is going to take care of you. History, 17,000 raving customer reviews online, 4.9 Google rating. That's what all the hype is about, baby. And your air ducts, they'll take care of that as well. This month, get three rooms Zero Resified from Minnesota's number one carpet cleaner, starting at just $129, and take 75 ducts off your air duct cleaning and 20% off all upholstery. Here's the number, 952-ZEROREZ, or go online to ZeroResMinnesota.com and tell them you want the rookie special.
Transgender, not all transgender people, but transgender activists are getting very successful in having transgender people being regarded as very special, almost distinct from the rest of the American population. Not almost distinct, distinct from
better
the rest
than.
Of us.
Yeah.
And the California Lieutenant Governor, a woman named Eleni Kounalakis.
The daughter of a Sacramento developer.
She's praising the fact that what is open now in California is the nation's first transgender voting center. It's in L.A. It's in West Hollywood at the Connie Norman Transgender Empowerment Center. And that's where, if you're transgender or non-binary, you can go to cast your vote. Now, why? And then Eleni says, as state legislatures across the country try to make it harder and harder to vote, imposing draconian voter ID laws, eliminating early and mail-in voting, and limiting voting hours, Los Angeles and California must be the light in all that darkness. And according to Jordy, she just won the Hyper Bowl. I'm sure our friend Dan McGrath would point out this is just absolutely hyperbole. But what? Why would a transgender person need a special place to vote?
I don't know. Because you're special.
Doesn't matter. Checkmark. Checkmark, whether you have a unit or not, is still a checkmark.
I'm at a loss.
Well, considering their stance on restrooms, you're right. That is a little backwards.
They have their own place to vote as soon as tomorrow, Super Tuesday. Meanwhile,
do you think that that voting center will sway in a particular direction?
I do.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, during a speech to the U.S. Air Force, transgender Space Force Colonel. I didn't know we had a transgender Space Force Colonel.
They made some news.
That fellow's name or woman's name.
I believe she identifies as a woman.
Bree Fram demanded that everyone use pronouns in their emails because that's how you win wars.
Ah. Nope. Wrong.
Huh?
Hold on.
Wrong.
All too often I hear leaders talk about providing everyone with dignity and respect like it's an aspirational goal. That's not good enough, Bree said. Man, I guess not. It isn't.
Of course not.
Dignity and respect is the bare minimum. It's the floor of where we can be. We must set our sights higher and focus on intentional inclusivity because there are still far too many people out there, not just LGBTQ1+34PMY people, that feel marginalized, shut out, or discriminated against. I'm reading from modernity.com, and they say he added.
All too often, I hear leaders talk about providing everyone with dignity and respect like it's an aspirational goal. That's not good enough. Dignity and respect is the bare minimum. It's the floor of where we can be. We must set our sights higher and focus on intentional inclusivity, because there are still far too many people out there, not just LGBTQ individuals, that feel marginalized, shut out, or discriminated against. So for all of you out there, I ask you to set out your symbols of pride, share your pronouns in your email, particularly if you're a person who doesn't think they need to. Initiate difficult conversations about racial and gender barriers and share a bit of your vulnerability in a way that draws others in. You all have the power to take intentionally inclusive actions to ensure the multiple perspectives that we know make us stronger as we devise winning warfighting strategies get heard.
What does that have to do with defending herself from the likes of Putin or terrorists or, you know, fill in the blank?
Kenny, the caption for that video I saw over the weekend is perfect. The rest of the world is laughing at us.
Yeah. Joe, what did you say right before we aired the clip? Something about a newspaper referring to her as he?
The site that I'm reading the story from referred to Bree as he.
Okay, it was a website. All right.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I don't feel fine. Here's the problem.
What's the problem, Joel?
Here's the problem. Again, if you want to be transgender, that's fine with me. And even if you're transgender and you're elevated all the way up the ladder to the head of the Space Force, it's your job to be the head of the Space Force. It's not your job to continue to proselytize on behalf of being transgender. I want you to be the head of the Space Force and figure out, well, A, what the hell are you supposed to do as the head of the Space Force?
Right. That's what I'm looking up now. What the hell is it?
Well, I think it goes back to Reagan. I mean, I think we've had a Space
no,
Force.
That was no? a Trump thing.
The Trump thing?
Trump, yeah.
Well,
what is it?
We shouldn't laugh because we do know that space will be weaponized if it isn't already.
And they're saying, actually, the Russians are trying to do that, right, with satellites.
Yeah, so it's probably a pretty serious...
Right, so I want...
Well, then I feel safe.
I want Bree plugged in here. Yeah. I want her...
I have a brief description. The United States Space Force is the sixth branch of the U.S. Armed Forces, whose mission is to lead space-related military operations within the U.S. Department of Defense. There you go.
Yeah, established 2019.
Okay,
is Bree doing that, or is Bree just attending transgender conferences?
Well, you're right. I interrupted you, but it seems like her main job is the gender trans thing. You're right.
You know, transgender people, you want me to acknowledge your role in society. You're side by side with the rest of us working, producing, creating, fulfilling obligations. Great. That's fine. Then why do you keep hectoring me about how special you are?
Right.
Bree, God knows what Bree's history is. And how did, do you think?
Complicated.
Was Bree trans before she got this gig?
Yes. I was on her earlier on her biography. And she came out as transgender the day the military got rid of the... when the military said you could be transgender.
Right.
She came out that day, literally, to say she was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel safe.
Okay, you had the nuclear waste guy who dressed up like a clown and stole suitcases, right?
Yeah. Remember that guy? He's he?
Sam something.
Yeah, no longer with... the government.
Then you have the Surgeon General is trans.
Yeah.
Boy, is that a failed experiment in that case.
Yeah.
Again, great. Be trans. But I recall reading, I think the Surgeon General came up on this show for exactly this reason. Hectoring us or lecturing us about some way we might not be fully appreciative of the transgender movement. No, you know, tell people not to smoke.
Okay,
that's your gig. You're not there to cheerlead for transgenderism. Right. Nor is Fran. Is it Fran Bree?
Bree Fram.
Bree. It's not your deal.
It's like cheese.
You're there to launch satellites.
Well, I want to know, do we have nukes in space yet so we can blow up the whole GD world? That's what I want to know
yeah.
about. Let's
you
go
know,
here.
I'm
Let's
not
blow
sure.
this B up.
Listen to this boilerplate nonsense. You all have the power to take intentionally inclusive action to ensure the multiple perspectives that we know make us stronger as we devise winning war fighting strategies get heard. What the hell?
Huh?
And so I'm wondering how your pronoun on an email helps you devise a winning war strategy.
Yeah. What's that have to do with stopping
Putin? What does that have to do with I need to launch a satellite tonight to keep an eye on what Putin's up to?
When we have an inbound rocket coming from outer space directed by the Soviet Union, is anybody going to care about pronouns and whose designer dress you have on?
Anybody who has designs on defeating America for whatever purpose, literally, I have to use the word literally, Kenny, literally taking us over for our land and eliminating us, anyone or just making us an adjunct, what's the word I want, territory of their country, okay, whether it's China or Russia, you don't, they don't even need weapons.
Yeah, China certainly doesn't. They you can annex us by the end of the day.
We're accommodating you.
Yeah.
We're falling apart before your very eyes. You're chuckling.
Yeah. We're a not funny SNL skit is what the United States are.
Right. You don't need a damn bullet. Not one.
Nope.
The person running our space force is totally committed to, apparently, to how we sign our emails.
She's just a point of correction. She doesn't run the Space Force.
What is she?
She's just a lieutenant colonel or lieutenant whatever in the Space Force. She's not the head of it. The head of it is another guy I just saw.
Oh.
I've been doing a lot of research.
A trans, yeah, no. Is that a trans guy?
No, a normal. Well, see, I normal. See what I did there.
That was, see, that was wrong.
I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, I apologize. Tis. If you were offended, I apologize.
You're going to be canceled.
Well, Bree must be up there far enough where she gives speeches to the U.S. Air Force.
Or is it, is this her role, in all seriousness?
Well, what's, John has it up. What's, she's a lieutenant colonel.
A lieutenant colonel. She's a rocket scientist, and she actually has a pretty good resume as far as the military service goes. She was in charge of, and I've lost it all here, but she was in charge in Iraq of our Air Force, whatever, with our friends in Iraq. What would that word be?
Allies. Our allies?
Allies, yeah. She was the main administrator with the people in Iraq. I've lost the whole thing here, but she does have a long, she, is it she, do we decide, yes, does have a long career with the Air Force.
So she's got the creds.
Yeah, yeah, she definitely has the creds. She's got, here we go, she's got a master's degree in National Security Strategic Studies from the Naval War College, a Master of Science in Astronautical Engineering from the Air Force Institute of Technology. She's been instrumental in various roles in the Air Force, including a Research and Development Command. Also oversaw Air Force security cooperation with Iraq. Her contributions extend to operational deployments in Qatar and Iraq as part of Operation Iraqi Freedom.
The question then becomes, is she now subjugating all of these marvelous credentials to merely proselytize on behalf of transgenderism?
Well, that was going to be my question to you. Tell me again where the speech was made. Was this at LGBTQ event?
It just says at a... Do you have it, Reavers? Because mine just says in a speech at the Air Force.
Yeah, that's all I have on this particular video, too.
Maybe she went out to Colorado and did it. I don't know.
She has been doing advocacy, should we call it, perhaps,
sure,
for
sure,
LGBT for quite a long time.
Well, if it was at an John, if it was at an LGBTQ event, fine. But if it's an Air Force event and they came to learn about our defenses in outer space, I'd be in back going, anyway,
here we go. She's the co-leader of the Department of the Air Force LGBTQ plus initiatives team. So that's what the speech would have been part of.
That
I
seems
would assume.
A waste of
gotcha.
Her talents.
It really does.
It seems it a
really
waste
does.
Of her lifelong career.
This is somebody driving an Uber, a Ferrari Uber, is what this is.
Yeah. We're going to have to get used to this. Obviously, this move, because these are special people. They have their own voting center in L.A. But what the American citizen needs to be reassured of, and I think we have been to a certain degree with this woman, is that they're qualified. She sounds terribly qualified, but she's not acting on her qualifications.
What do you think of this analogy she makes? During the interview, Fram reflected on the significance of diversity in the military, drawing parallels to historical examples like the Tuskegee Airmen and the Navajo Code Talkers.
No, I stop right there. Every black person in the world should be embarrassed at that, should be angry at that. Likening her state in life to a black sharecropper whose parents pick cotton? Are you kidding me?
Okay. BS, well, I know
lady.
What you think about
that's insulting.
She made the remarks underscoring the importance of inclusive policies because of the brain power lost when organizations don't harness their diverse talents.
The Tuskegee Airmen should have given the finger to every corporal they ever saw. Just said, get out of my way. We'll go take care of this.
We got this.
Oh, what was the... God, it was a really good movie, and I can never remember the title. The Black Gals Who Helped Land a Man on the Moon with Their Mathematical Skills. Fantastic movie. And it really showed us what they had to deal with in order just to do their job on a daily basis. Is this gal's life comparable to theirs?
No.
Hidden Figures, Kenny.
Hidden That's Figures. Great movie. I've seen it three times now. I love it. Even though it has Kevin Costner in, who I hate. but they really, it was a day-to-day struggle just to be able to go to work.
Who was the black female star?
Well, I don't know, but she went on.
Octavia? And
Taraji Henson, Octavia Spencer, Janelle Monáe.
She worked right up through the space shuttle years. Just a brilliant mathematician. Brilliant.
Well, she might be smart, but she ain't smart enough to fix garage doors.
Hey, now. That is what we call a transition.
Wow. We got
did they leave the door open up on the moon up there, or no? Did they close it?
We got people for that.
Okay.
The precision garage door of the Twin Cities in western Wisconsin. Remember this one. They don't charge more for weekends. Remember this. They really do their best to have every part they need in the truck so they don't give you that song and dance about, I got to run back to the shop.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear that. You want to get it done when they're there, and that's what they want to accomplish, and they do it all. The springs, the rollers, the garage door openers, and apps on your phone. I was talking to a guy yesterday. He said, I can tell you right now what the temperature is in my garage. Huh. I said, I don't even want to know what the temperature is in your garage. But he has the ability, because there's apps for this stuff. He can open the garage door and close it. He can see if it's closed.
I have that app. Yeah, I have that app on my phone.
Well, they'll do that. They fix that, because I can't.
I don't know how to do it.
Plus, if you need a door, they'll take care of your door. They're good people. They're an equal opportunity employer. And the employees they have, and they're always looking for good ones, they appreciate and the good work, and they're well compensated. Put this number in your telephone contacts. Just write precision. That's what I would do.
That's all I got to do.
612-263-6985. Or you go to the computer and find them on the interwebs. PrecisionDoorMN.com. That's PrecisionDoorMN.com.
Not a Garage Logic town council member. Here's what you're missing.
Council members, we have the ultimate practical joke to play on your significant other, your buddy, your brother, your friend, whatever. Go to the store, the music store, buy a cheap harmonica, and then get some zip ties and zip tie that harmonica on the undercarriage of the person's vehicle.
Oh, sweet wow. Jesus.
Yeah.
You got to make sure the mouthpiece part is facing forward and you get up to speed. And that thing starts singing, and it will drive them crazy.
You should have done this to Joe.
I know. I sent it to him. I was so excited that I sent it to Such right away, and then I'm going, oh, damn it, I should have sent it to Paul.
Go behind the scenes of Garage Logic with unfiltered audio and video access, invites to exclusive events, an emailed newsletter from the mayor himself, and more by signing up at GarageLogic.com.
Thing.
We're still doing North American baking all the time, right?
Yes, sir.
Is there a break, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Drunk.
Okay.
He's nothing without his liners. Have a listen. Here's Joe Soucheray.
You just did that.
You can't do... You pick a different one, Matthew.
It's all going to be about not having liners.
No, you got to do better. Pick a different one.
Here's a guy without a backup liner today.
Here's Joe Soucheray.
Here's John Haidt, but first.
Run better, last longer. What else do you need for your cylinders? That's pretty much everything we ask for, and Seafoam Motor Treatment provides it in bundles. It's the best way to save money from costly repairs and ensure that you arrive on time to your intended destination without any worries. Nothing worse than worrying about your ride for 3 hours on the highway. All the common engine issues, the things that plague so many, gone, eliminated. And it's just occasional doses of seafoam in the gas that gets you there. All the costly repairs that result in those problems take money out of our wallet. It's cured. All you do is give it occasional hits of seafoam, and your ride will thank you. A healthy, happy engine. You can't beat it. You'll find Seafoam Motor Treatment in the fine automotive chemical aisle all over this fine country. A truly wonderful product in a world of yucky gas. Seafoam.
Here's John Haidt.
Thank you, Joe. This news brought to you by North American Banking Company. Family and friends are remembering the pilot of a small plane that crashed and burned Saturday, killing the pilot, 85-year-old Pat Moore, and his passenger. Moore's wife, Vicky, says her husband and a friend flew out from the Lake Elmo Airport around 9:35 Saturday morning. They were heading to Granite Falls to visit an aviation museum, but instead the single-engine two-seater crashed just minutes later, only a few feet from a home along the 15,000 block of Afton Hills Drive South. Authorities called to the scene around 9:45 in the morning, responding to the report of a small explosion. Crews on the scene say they found a small plane fully engulfed in flames that had crashed near an attached garage. Fire crews put out the fire, found the bodies of two men. The Washington County Sheriff's Office says the second person on the plane was a 68-year-old man from Baytown Township. He's not yet been officially recognized as who he is. Bob Rodriguez, a friend of the Moores for about 20 years, says he's still trying to process what happened. He said he was there if you needed anything. He enjoyed flying very much. Vicky Moore says her husband had been flying since 1958. His plane was a 1961 model. The couple took vacations around the world, she says, based on air shows, traveling to air shows and meeting with other aviators. They had planned on going to an air show in Texas in May.
Not to speak ill of the dead, but was this a case where they should have taken the keys away from?
You don't know a thing about it.
That's what I'm asking.
No, well, that's a stupid question because we don't know anything of what happened.
Okay. Follow up to that shooting in Cloquet.
I hope I'm able to fly a plane when I'm 85.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, that's why I guess I was driving at it. Yeah. If he was still able to fly, that's great at 85.
Follow up to that shooting in Cloquet that happened a couple of months ago, and it appears to just be an awful story about randomness. Investigators say the man who fatally shot a Super 8 hotel employee and a guest in Cloquet does not appear to have had any connection to either of the victims. That man, 32-year-old Nicholas Elliott Linnaeus of Ramsey, died by suicide during the incident on January 9th. Officials now say a toxicology report showed there was methamphetamine in Linnaeus' blood, and it may have impaired him during the shooting. Investigators say Linnaeus contacted a coworker and talked about dealing with monsters at the time. Authorities also believe he may have been having a mental health episode while under the influence of the meth. A hotel employee, 22-year-old Shelby Treadle, was shot near the front desk. The other victim, 35-year-old Patrick Jeffrey Roars of Deer River, was shot inside a vehicle that was parked in the hotel lot. Both Linnaeus and Roars were guests at the motel. Responding authorities initially had feared that it was an active shooter incident, advised locals to shelter in place. The Cloquet Police Department said it has analyzed all available information about the shooting, will now send final investigative reports to the Carlton County Attorney's Office for review. One person is safe after being rescued by crews overnight at the Wabasha Street Caves. Officials say the person fell off a cliff, was found on a stone structure behind the Street Caves building. Firefighters could be seen putting the man onto a rescue ladder and lowering him off a roof at about 1 this morning. The roof was just below a steep embankment. No word yet on the man's condition. Minneapolis City Council is hoping to hear an update on recommendations given to the police department regarding staffing levels. In 2022, a private company was hired by the city to look at staffing levels at the MPD. It offered a list of recommendations to improve community outreach and more efficient ways to respond to 911 calls. Now, the City Council's Health and Public Safety Committee would like to find out how many of those recommendations have been met and what obstacles there are to get the remaining recommendations implemented. City Council Member Robin Wansley said the updated info will help the city move forward. Wansley saying, so this legislative directive asks the mayor to explain which of those recommendations have been implemented. It also asks for information about what barriers are there to prevent implementation. City records show there were 503 sworn officers on the MPD payroll at the end of February, down from more than 800 in 2019. 19.
That city is 300 cops short.
Yep. Why don't we take a quick break here? Have more news after this, but let's check in with the rookie. See what he's got for us.
Let's do that. I want to tell you all about Minnesota Masonic Charities and the great work that they do. They do fantastic work, but you need to be educated, right? Well, far too often, we're reminded of the shocking decline in moral and ethical integrity. We just heard about it. We got 300 less cops. Minnesota Masonic Charities and the Masons of Minnesota, they want to do something about that. On March 30th, the Saturday before Easter, they're going to be testing out a new program that they are developing called Civility School. The program will be from 10 to noon at the Masonic Heritage Center in South Bloomington, followed by lunch, of course. They do love to eat. Masonry has been described as a system of morality veiled in allegory illustrated by signs and symbols. Civility School is a system of civility veiled in allegory illustrated by YouTube videos and conversation. Get it? Believe it or not, as much as social media has become the source of many of society's challenges, it could also provide some powerful solutions. So let's use it. By meeting with young people where they live, which, of course, they're all on social media, Civility School hopes to demonstrate interesting young people that civility is cool. I'll tell you what, over the next weeks, I'll be sharing more about the Civility School and details about how GLers might lend their insights to the program. Stay tuned. MNMasonicCharities.org. Okay.
He was always the last one up at the safety meetings. He's Joe Sugere.
Weren't we all?
Yeah.
If you have not booked your appointment yet, I've got news for you. Tax day is what? 42 days away?
It is the season.
It is the season. So call the best. Three-fifths of the Garage Logic team uses Linda Keller and Keller Tax Services. Find her online at kellertaxservice.com. You go on the website. You could book the appointment right then and there. You send her stuff, and Viola, Kenny Olson, it comes right back. It's great.
I sent her stuff on the 13th of February. My federal return is already in my bank account. The longest wait was actually waiting for the feds to put the money in.
Wow.
The turnaround with Linda was amazing. She was done within a matter of days.
That's really cool.
I'm so happy I changed to Linda Keller. She's so awesome.
She really is. And she knows her stuff. And even if you don't reside in the great state of Minnesota, she can also help you out. She does tax preparation and services all across this vast country. So give her a shout, kellertaxservice.com. Like I said, you can book the appointment right there online. But if you're also curious, if you're a business owner or what have you, she does all types of returns for all types of services, but please make sure that you mention that you heard her here on the Garage Logic podcast.
Supreme Court on Monday restoring Donald Trump to 2024 presidential primary ballots, rejecting state attempts to hold the Republican former president accountable for the Capitol riot on January 6th. The justices unanimously ruled a day before the Super Tuesday primaries that states cannot invoke a post-Civil War constitutional provision to keep presidential candidates from appearing on the ballots. That power, they said, resides with Congress. They wrote that in an unsigned opinion. The outcome ends efforts here in Minnesota, Colorado, Illinois, Maine, and elsewhere to kick Trump, the frontrunner for his party's nomination, off the ballot because of his attempts to undo his loss in the 2020 election. Trump's case was the first at the Supreme Court dealing with a provision of the 14th Amendment that was adopted after the Civil War, trying to prevent former office holders, who engaged in insurrection during the Civil War from holding office again for the U.S. government.
I don't think the ruling is a surprise.
No, I don't think so at all.
You can't have a situation where the states determine who gets to run for president.
Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold appeared on MSNBC this morning.
My larger reaction is disappointment. I do believe that states should be able, under our Constitution, to bar oath-breaking insurrectionists. And ultimately, this decision leaves open the door for Congress to act, to pass authorizing legislation. But we know that Congress is a nearly non-functioning body. So ultimately, it will be up to the American voters to save our democracy in November.
Was he charged with and proven guilty of insurrection?
No.
Okay, then. What the hell is she talking about? So it's just her opinion. It's just like her opinion, man.
I will forever reject and always have rejected the idea that these were merely tourists in the Capitol. I saw the film. What do you want me to do? Lie to myself?
So where are you at? And stay with me, John, because I'm just casting bait here. So don't overreact to this.
What, Kenny?
Where are you at with these were undercover FBI people and that kind of...
I don't believe that either. I don't believe that.
Evidence to back up your position?
Well, you have no evidence to even make the claim, which is purely ridiculous.
Like I told John, evidently you weren't listening. I was just fishing.
Well, and you got your catch. I'm in the net.
No, I think you slipped free. I think you're still
swimming. Yeah, you're swimming away.
I think you're good. Yeah.
We have not a primary today or yesterday, but we did have a win for Nikki Haley, her first. Nikki Haley defeated Donald Trump in Sunday's Republican primary in Washington, D.C. Her first win in what, of course, remains at best an uphill battle to somehow overtake Donald Trump in the 2024 GOP presidential nomination. Haley, the former governor of South Carolina, claimed all 19 convention delegates, carried more than 62% of the vote among the small pool of D.C. Republicans who took part. She now takes her challenge to Trump to more than a dozen primaries being held tomorrow. That's right. It's Super Tuesday. Trump favored to win most of those contests.
Why would Washington have a Sunday primary? Isn't that odd? I wonder.
They got to be the only place, right?
I've never heard of such a thing.
To keep them out of the church. Conspiracy against the Lord.
Against the Lord. One conservative Republican taking shots at his party's candidates and the party's stances on issues over the weekend on the TV news shows. Ken Buck, who made headlines 2 weeks ago when he said that the cabinet should vote President Biden out of office, said yesterday he's not running for re-election, and he says the reason is the direction the Republican Party is going at this time. Buck announced that he will not be running, and he said on the Hill Sunday that while his goals for the country have not changed, the world around him has, in his words, changed dramatically. He said, "We've gone from a time when Tea Party stood for conservative principles, for constitutional principles, to a time where populists have taken over my party and are really advocating things I think are really dangerous." When asked why he decided to leave Congress, he said, "The MAGA crowd ran a primary against me last time. I won it easily, 75-25. I'm not concerned about a primary, and I'm not concerned about losing a general election. You know, though, the time is right. I'm at a point in my life where I want to do different things." Buck has criticized some members of the Republican Party for promoting the false claims that the 2020 election was stolen from former President Trump. Buck, who voted to certify the election, withheld support from Judiciary Committee Chair Jim Jordan when he ran for the speakership over concerns he had with Jordan's actions surrounding the January 6th, 2021 attack on the Capitol. Israel delayed sending a high-level delegation to Cairo for talks on a ceasefire in the war against Hamas for a second day, putting a damper on hopes for an imminent deal. The U.S., Egypt, and Qatar, the main mediators, are trying to get Israel to pause fighting in Gaza and release Palestinian prisoners in return for Hamas freeing hostages. The talks are also meant to ensure more aid gets to the residents of Gaza. Israel has said it won't send negotiators to Cairo till Hamas gives it a list of Israeli hostages it intends to release. Hollywood's been waiting since last year for some good box office news, and they finally got it this weekend. Dune Part 2, the long-awaited sequel to one of the most popular science fiction adaptations in recent years, secured the number one spot with a strong $81.5 million in domestic sales and $178.5 million globally. The sequel beat out the first Dune installment easily, which opened with $41 million back in October 2021. The films are based on the classic science fiction series of Dune books written by Frank Herbert.
You know, I'm unaware of Dune.
Kyle, what's his last name? McLaughlin. Wasn't he in the original, like way back in the 80s?
Yeah, it was awful, though. I read the books when I was in my 20s.
What's Dune about?
It's science fiction nonsense.
Yeah, it's in the future, and it's a planet, and there's a spice on the planet, which is basically gold. It's worth gold. And yeah, you wouldn't like it.
Like Mad Max?
It's got gigantic sandworms.
I don't do that.
Yeah, see, it's. I didn't think you'd.
I don't like sandworm movies.
Nerds. Yeah.
So these parts one and two.
I had dinner with a guy Saturday night who loved Dune.
It's successful this time around.
Or both.
Yeah. The movie.
The books were, in my 20s, I loved them, but I might have been in a little different state of mind at that point, so I don't know if I'd still love them.
It's
I still
far
them.
Out, man.
I might read them someday.
Oh, man, look at all those sandworms,
like,
man.
Dunes and stuff, like sand everywhere.
Music.
Is there any water in the movie?
A lot of sand.
There's not. They actually turn their sweat into water.
I see. Because
there is no water.
I'm going to rush out and see this.
See, I remember in 45 years ago, I read these when I was 20.
I've never read the genre of science fiction.
Wait a minute.
I've read some.
You just brought up something interesting. They're able to turn sweat into water.
You're correct. Yes.
Then why can't we do that
possible,
to the ocean?
Then Kenny would make a fortune at the fair with all the flowers.
Sell his own water.
Yes.
Wow.
This friend of yours that enjoyed the movie, is he,
cuckoo? Oh, a very sharp guy. He's a sharp guy.
Obviously, a lot of people like the movie.
Touch, for Christ's sake, Kenny.
He's wearing a hockey helmet right now.
No, he's my man, Don. He loved the damn movie. I can't.
All right. Okay.
What'd you have for dinner?
I had some fish.
Okay. Do you have mutton?
I had a blackened cod.
Ooh.
A music death?
I didn't have mutton.
How'd that go for you on Sunday after the fish on Saturday? Everything okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Clean as a whistle.
Music death once again. Drummer. One of the few rock and roll bands left worth listening to. Sorry, little editorializing there. Drummer Britt Turner of Blackberry Smoke has died after a series of major health issues.
Oh, man.
From a heart attack in 2022 to a diagnosis of an aggressive brain tumor in November of 2022 and subsequent brain surgery. He did continue playing with the band through some shows last year, but he had stopped recently, and fill-in drummers had played for him. Along with being a founding member of the band since its inception in the year 2000, Turner was the brother of Blackberry Smoke bass player Richard Turner. He was also the band's de facto historian, chronicling the band all along the way. He kept collections of the accolades, accomplishments, tour posters, credentials, and everything else from the band's lineage.
God, Britt they're not Turner. That good.
Oh, they're great.
Didn't
band.
We have Britt a bump
Turner
from them?
Was 57.
What? No.
I thought we used to play a bump by them.
Maybe we did. Oh. Yeah.
Charlie Starr, their singer and one of their lead guitarists. He's
Monster,
in that pantheon of really good rock and roll musicians.
John, thank you.
Oh, God.
Thank you, John.
Pause.
He's well, never mind. We won't continue this discussion.
Okay. Well, it's just, I go like this and he takes it. Yep. I mean, I got a theory for you. I'm setting aside everything else for this theory.
Listen up, folks. He's about to get shot down again. Here's Joseph Jure.
I have a theory about the homeless. Been doing a lot of thinking about it.
Service Road of Life?
I went to downtown Minneapolis Saturday night, and that I don't know why that started me thinking, but I was thinking. How many camps have sprung up? Are we on about camp number 6?
I was thinking 5.
Well, I know we've had 5 for sure. I think we're on camp number 6. Okay. One just burned. I think we're going about this the wrong way. This idea that we need, it's we're playing whack-a-mole. You clear them out of one camp, and the next thing they do is find another one.
Yep.
Okay, I think we're going about it the wrong way. See if these are true statements. These are people who seem to enjoy those living conditions, principally being outside. True or false?
Sure. False.
You don't think they enjoy it?
I don't.
Okay, I was going to say true.
Why? Tell me why.
Because it's a choice.
Well, let me finish my argument. Let me finish my argument. Would you find this a true statement? For most of, if not all of the people in the camps, this is their social life. This is their social dynamic, the people around them.
Yes.
To a degree, I can't. Yeah, you're to a small degree, I would say yes.
We have people in this country who live in motorhomes and they travel the country.
That's van life, man. Nomads, you bet.
That's right. And we have people who are beach bums. And we have
Bob Davis.
There's many, many different ways to live. What if we accepted the fact that this is the way these people are choosing to live? This is their preference. For a variety of reasons, they don't want to be bound by any drug laws. They don't want to be confined. They don't want their social dynamics interrupted. This is what they do. This is the way they live.
I think you hit it out of the park when you said drug laws, okay. Joe. They want to live a life where they are completely wasted all the time.
And that's by choice. Tough choice.
Initially by choice and now just plain old addiction.
Initially it was a ridiculous choice, but that was the choice made.
Yeah.
This is a lifestyle that they have grown to settle in, and you end the current camp what they have, they just sprang another one up. They'll spring another one up tomorrow because they're living their dream, however dark it is, and however the rest of us wouldn't enjoy it, and however much the rest of us would just as soon be warm in the winter. This is a lifestyle they've chosen, so we're looking at it the wrong way. Let's quit rousting them and come up with a dedicated area.
I've got the place.
Okay, a dedicated area where, here you go. We're going to put up a fence around it just to keep little kids from wandering in, but you have this area, and if you want to live in a tent and you want to have a fire, that's your problem. You go ahead. We'll provide porta potties, and we should even provide a shower. Way you get at a swimming pool, you know, you get out of the pool and you go stand under an outside shower. Maybe an outside shower would be a bad idea. It would have to be enclosed so you could take a shower in the winter.
Sure. I can see it all.
Okay. In fact, maybe not even porta potties, maybe a nice bathroom. And
you are describing any campground we have in the state, throughout the state in the summer.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, I don't quit. Because the mayor and the city council have no clue. They don't know what to do. And they're just throwing good money after bad. They have no idea what to do. I think the citizens would accept this. I think the voters would accept this. We're just going to have to acknowledge that just like trans people are special, these people are special. And they need this area for their campground. And that's it. You don't get to keep moving around from vacant lot to vacant lot in the city. This is your home right here. Kenny, what's the area?
You don't have an area? I'd like to hear yours
first. I don't have one yet.
Okay.
My theory.
My area is vast. It's big. We can combine both the Minneapolis and the St. Paul homeless into this area. And since, are we now a refuge state? Are we officially a refuge state?
No.
Or are we just thinking about it? Okay, we can open up.
No, let's not become a sanctuary state.
No, I mean a sanctuary state. Thank you. This area, south-facing slope, plenty of sunlight. All the utilities you need can be brought into there. We can even put in permanent bathroom and showering facilities close to transportation, mass transportation freeway, the capital of the state capital, the front lawn of the state capital, right there. Perfect. Huge. It's got to be, what, 20 acres? It's perfect.
It's facetious.
And okay, then the Ford plant.
That's already being built upon. It has to be an area where the people choosing to live this way don't bother us, and we don't bother them.
Okay, that's not possible because
we don't bother them, and they don't bother us.
You want it out of sight, out of mind.
All they're seeking is their privacy. All they're seeking is this way to live.
But they need to get supplies. They need to get their toilet paper. They need to get their toothpaste, their food, their...
How are they doing it now?
Well, they're in the city, so it's not
that far away. I'm not saying this should be outside the city. I'm saying this could well be inside the city.
And not bother people?
Right.
Do we have law enforcement then still handle emergencies?
I haven't worked out every aspect of this. The only aspect I've worked out is we're fighting a losing proposition. We're not acknowledging the desire of this particular group of people to live like this. We're assuming that we can, we're acting like missionaries. We're assuming that we can convert them. And that's evident that that's not true.
How about, you know, we just create something, you know, a fake town with a fake mayor.
What worries
fake bank.
A boathouse.
A boathouse.
Honest to God.
What worries me here, though, Joe?
Maybe GLers will help me because these idiots won't.
Are you? Is this tongue in cheek?
Because no,
you
sound it's not. Like, it's not.
You sound that's like the tongue in cheek.
You sound like the people that are running Seattle or San Francisco. That's what you sound like.
And you're also making
because I intend to get results.
But you're also making the assumption that most of these people will remain, you know, law abiding and. Do you see what I'm saying? And that's a heck of an assumption.
Well, then let's just leave the theory with one proposition. That nothing that's been done so far works.
No, that's true.
And I'm positing or hypothesizing that the main reason that whatever we've done doesn't work is because you're fighting the innate desire to live like that.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time convincing myself that they want to live like that. I think they would be in homeless shelters if the homeless shelters would let them in knowing that they're drug-addled and completely wasted on cleaning products every day.
Well, you know, the one idea I had was turning Walls' fruit market into a dormitory. That didn't fly.
It's a great idea.
That didn't fly. And whatever you come up with, I guess, do you allow the drug use with the gradual weaning off the drug use with the provision of counselors? Because I would imagine there's a hardcore group that would not go for
but
that.
But isn't there a program, a state-run program already in place that does that very thing?
I don't know that this should be a state-run program because the state fails at mostly.
But like Kenny mentioned, the reason they're on the street is they want to use.
And I'm acknowledging that. I'm acknowledging that. They want to live like this because they want to use drugs.
But there's no weaning off. You know, it's got to be cold turkey and in a straitjacket in a locked room in a facility. There's no, I'm just not going to use today.
Yeah, it's like
that's not going to happen.
It's like me with Girl Scout cookies right now. I can't stop.
A whole sleeve, yeah, just
honest
gone.
To God,
I will stand there and eat the whole sleeve.
Where did
sleeve.
That whole box of Samoas go?
It's in my belly.
I got the Thin Mints.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I pounded away on those.
They disappear a sleeve at a time.
The Coconut Delight.
I like those.
I used to twist them up halfway through, put a little twisty on there, and then I'd just be back in 3 minutes. I don't even try that anymore. Just the whole thing.
Kid from across the street came over.
Yep.
I just said, go come back. Come back with the Thin Mints. Just return with the Thin Mints. She brought over, I don't know, 6 boxes.
Here's the blank check.
You know
lady.
It's bad when she's got them in a.
Oh, you did. Good.
She's got a little wagon that she's pulling them over in. You know you had a problem then.
No, I was. You know what? I am such an easy mark. She saw me outside, so she just trots over and goes, "Yeah.
What do you need?
Going to be
the normal?
What's it going to be?
The huge?
Well, do you have a forklift and a pallet? Let's go here.
Only because it's so popular.
Yes, sir.
That they're now sponsored by Renewal by Anderson. And we learned last week, Renewal by Anderson is everywhere. You live down in Florida or Arizona and you need new windows.
Nationwide.
Renewal by Anderson. They're Acclaim windows. This is going to upgrade your home for better viewing and improve your everyday life and kill those drafts. They engineer these. They innovate them themselves. They have beauty, durability, and performance. I know people who've had Anderson windows for decades. They provide year-round comfort. And it's not just windows. It's patio doors and entry doors along with the windows. Renewal by Anderson has the best products and the best service. And you can learn more at renewalbyanderson.com and then go /GarageLogic. Because they probably want to know how many GLers you're weighing.
That's it, Joe.
And you can also call Renewal by Anderson at 651-705-6931. I do know this. Windows are not to be taken lightly.
No.
They're crucial.
You know what? That's serious.
Pretty serious,
that's serious,
isn't it?
Yes.
So you need the best windows. There's no compromising when it comes to windows.
Mm-hmm.
So get to renewalbyanderson.com/garagelogic, and they bring you only because they come to us all the way from Lake Las Vegas, Nevada. I printed out the two things. Damn it. Oh, poop. Where's the... John, get on it.
I got him.
Shoot. I printed out the... This is, no.
It's panic. Look at that panic. What the hell?
On this day...
You're talking about March 4th.
1854. St. Paul and Stillwater were incorporated as cities.
Hmm.
On this day,
3-4,
in 1892, in Tower, Minnesota, Father Joseph F. Bue, B-U-H or Buh, published issue 11 of Amerikansky Slovenak, the first...
Person?
The first...
National newspaper for Slovenes in the United States.
The paper had started in Chicago, but had ceased publication after 10 issues. But...
Buh, who served St. Martin's Catholic Church in Tower
and St. Anthony Parish at Ely, supervised the paper's publication until 1899. On this day,
March 4th,
in 1911,
it's a long one.
Jerry McCarty and Peter Jewell escaped from the main cell house at the Minnesota State Prison in Stillwater.
After McCarty somehow obtained a key
that unlocks the bar running in front of the cell doors. Jewel, a trustee, making his evening rounds with a torch.
For igniting tapers stuck by convicts in their cell doors.
With which to light their pipes for a final night smoke. Used the key to release McCarty.
And the two hard cases hastily climb over a wall.
On July 15, McCarty, a burglar who had been sent to Stillwater for shooting at police officers and...
Minneapolis patrolman Joseph Ollinger would kill each other
in a close-range revolver battle. On August 12, Jewel, sentenced for robbing jewelry
store, would be captured on the crowded Selby Avenue, Lake Street streetcar
after mortally wounding St. Paul Detective Frank Frazier, who clung to
Jewel until another officer fells the escapee with his police club.
On this day.
You're right, John. That was a long one.
That was
one.
A long one.
Wasn't it?
It really was. On this day.
3-4.
In 1941, Elkhorn native Sam Lopresti, goaltender for the Chicago Blackhawks, made an astounding
80 saves in a game against the Boston Bruins.
Despite this valiant effort, three pucks did get by him, and Chicago lost 3-2.
80 saves and you lose.
Wow.
That's not a... You know what Patrick would say? They got to tighten her up on their own end.
And finally, on this day...
March 4th.
In 1942, Tammy Faye LaValle, also known as Tammy Faye Baker, was born in International Falls. With her husband, Jim Baker, she would help...
Found three of the largest Christian television networks...
in the world, including... Praise the Lord Ministry, after Jim was jailed for fraud and...
conspiracy, a charge for which she escaped conviction.
She divorced him and married Roe Mesner.
Poor Roe.
So, Roe got the short end of that deal,
right.
Didn't he? Yeah.
And finally, on this day...
On this day.
Which is March 4th, in 1994, America lost a great Catholic... who was born on October 31st on Halloween, and a wonderful, wonderful player, John Franklin Candy, at the age of 43, went down.
Much too early.
His dad
now
died.
Now I found the sheet I printed out, John.
Well, that's good.
Oh, perfect.
Timing is everything.
His dad died at 35 of heart disease, so John take care of himself like he should have.
He was overweight.
Yes. He was a lean, mean fighting machine. I think was the quote.
John's SCTV stuff is pretty damn funny.
Oh, my gosh. One was 3D, Tip O'Neill's 3D House of Wax. So John Candy's Tip O'Neill. And he says, here, gentlemen, I want you to sign this. And he goes like this to the camera.
Yeah. Joe, what's your favorite John Candy role?
I don't know.
I think that might be on SCTV, Tip O'Neill's 3D House of
Wax.
That
is. If yeah, you can't do 3D stuff there.
That's pretty good, too.
Is that John Candy?
Yes. If you can't get enough of Garage Logic, you should join the thousands of GLers who have found us on YouTube. Just search for Garage Logic Podcast and subscribe for nearly daily content, including behind-the-scenes content, full segments, and video shorts. That's Garage Logic Podcast on YouTube. And a reminder that the Garage Logic Show will be starting a little bit early tomorrow for all of you Garage Logic Town Council members. Show will begin at 10:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. We will see you then.